and selflessness and kindness and goodness. But from the very beginning, the first man and woman, we hadn't done that. And we have chosen our way of doing things instead of God's way of doing things. And that comes down all the way to you and me. And you and I know the misery that has caused historically and personally in my life. Us doing things our way rather than God's way. God calls that problem sin. And he emphasizes in the Bible that it's infected all of us. He says in the book of Romans that there is none righteous, no, not one. And he goes on to say in the same book, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, you can raise your hand inside. If there's anybody in here who hasn't sinned, we'd sure like to know how you've managed to do it. Okay? But for the rest of us, we're part of that, what Jesus had the Holy Spirit say in the Bible, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And here's a problem with that. The wages of sin is death. Physical death in this life, but worse than that, spiritual death, eternal separation from the God of love and holiness and goodness. The wages of sin is death. But God loved me so much that when I had disqualified myself from heaven, when I got old enough to start deciding, am I going to do it Jeff's way or God's way, guess which way I chose. Chose the same way you chose. I chose to do it Jeff's way, and by doing that, I was saying, I don't care whether God thinks he's God, I'm the real Lord. And so I disqualified myself from heaven. You disqualified yourself from heaven, and there's nothing we can do to earn our way back in. But here's the cool deal. God loved me so much that when I couldn't earn heaven, he just wanted to give it to me. Isn't that cool? And so that's why the rest of that verse says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, his Son. That's why people need Jesus, because they need their sins forgiven so that they can live with God forever in heaven. The people you pass every day, the people you love, the people you know, your family, your friends, your neighbors, the people you work with, the people you buy groceries from, they need Jesus. And if they don't have Jesus, they are looking toward an eternity in hell without God. And I don't want that for them. That's why people need Jesus. And God made a way that we could have Jesus. He did this by sending his Son to pay the full penalty for my sins. But the scripture says God proves his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't wait. Say, okay, Jeff, you are a mess. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a few more years. You can clean your act up, get it together, and become good, then I'll send my Son Jesus to die for you and pay the penalty from your past sins. He didn't do that. While I was a sinner, Christ died for me and for you. And Jesus is ready to give anyone that gift. But every gift, even one which comes from God, must be opened by the recipient. And God even made a very simple way for people to open his gift of forgiveness. The Bible also says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Can you believe it? What good news. The solution to man's greatest problem on earth, death, can be solved immediately by simply calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus in faith. So why aren't people calling on him around us by the thousands, by the millions, by the billions? And here's a surprising answer to that. Because most people have never heard a clear, compelling, face-to-face explanation of this free gift. Even in the United States, where there's a church about every three blocks, most people have not heard this face-to-face, clear, compelling news that Jesus wants to forgive their sins and saves them. And the reality is, most people, you know, it's the gospel is spoken in many pulpits throughout the land, but most people are never going to be in front of many pulpits. And God knew from the beginning that that's the way it was going to be. And so he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved in verse 13, but he warns in the very next verse, verse 14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless, what's the last few words? Someone tells them. How are they going to hear about him unless someone tells them? And that's where you and I come in. You can be that someone. You can be that someone who points people to Jesus, who makes that first contact that eventually results in them calling on the name of the Lord and being saved. What a wonderful opportunity. Pastor Jim and I have been talking about, praying about this for a couple of years. Been talking about it for the last year, that God wants to move our church from an inward-focused church to an outward-focused church. And this year, Jim's been hinting a number of times from the pulpit, get ready. We're going to begin training you. We're going to begin providing some simple tools where we can begin making an impact on our community and pointing people outside the church to Jesus. And so that's why we decided for me to preach this week while he's on vacation and invite you to sign up. The next weeks and months, we're going to train many of you to share two simple things that will point people to Jesus: your story and his story. Training is effective and it'll help you become competent and confident in sharing what Jesus has done for you, your story, and sharing what he would like to do for others, his story. But we're actually going to start tonight with something even simpler than that. We're going to go in teams to some neighborhoods that are close to New Life Church, and we're going to invite parents to send their kids to Bible school starting a week from tonight. Now, this VBS will be a major outreach ministry for our church this year. We've had wonderful VBSs each year, but they've mainly been our kids, and people have had a good time. But this year, God gave us a vision to have a vacation Bible school that had more of their kids than it did of our kids. It's a team effort, and we've been putting this together in five steps. First step was to create an over-the-top VBS. Judy's been working on that for a couple of months. It's put together what's looking like the best, the most fun, the biggest PBS we've ever had. What time did we leave? She's gone now. I think we left at 1:30 this morning after working on it all day and all night, and she's been putting together a great VBS. That's the first step. The second step is to put together a great staff. And so far, she's recruited 90 of you guys. Yeah, many of you guys are working in VBS. Pastor Jim told staff the other day, both about VBS and Sunday school, if you guys want any volunteers, you better get them quick, because Judy's going to have all of them before long. Okay? So thank you. 90 of you will be working, and that's essential to have people who love kids and are willing to serve them. That's step two. Step four, and you notice I'm skipping step three because that comes last. Step four is to point the 150 kids who come to VBS, to point them to Jesus. Starting 1 week from tonight, we expect this place to be full of people with this color shirt for workers and with white t-shirts for kids. And we're going to love on them, and we're going to lead them in fun, and we're going to tell them about the Lord. And we believe at the end of that week that there's going to be many of the older kids who are going to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And that's exciting. But there's something that's even more exciting. Because step five is we're going to pursue every family for Jesus. I'll be out here in the front before and after. Pastor Jim will. Others will. And we're going to try to make a personal connection with every family that brings a child to VBS. And then we're going to follow up, because we want those families to come to Jesus and follow up in their homes. And that's a wonderful program, wonderful plan. You got to have a wonderful program and plan if you're going to make the impact we want to have. But that brings me to the central step, step three. And that is, we got to get 150 kids to attend. All right? We have the best program in the world here. But if the kids are home watching, well, not watching cartoons anymore, if they're home playing video games, it won't do them any good. We have over 60 registered so far, and it'll probably be 70 by the time we're done here this morning. But that leaves us 80 more kids. Almost all of our New Life kids are enrolled. If you're not, do it. So we have the wonderful opportunity to go out and find more kids. That's what a bunch of us teams are going to do tonight. 6 o'clock, we're going to meet here. Very.
Might want to turn it on.
Hello?
Sounds on.
6 o'clock, we're going to meet here. Very brief training, because we're going out from here, and we're not asking you to even share your testimony or share the Lord. You're welcome to do anything like that if you want to, but our focus is going to be to go to some neighborhoods that are close to here and saturate those neighborhoods with invitations to VBS. And we'll have maps and a packet that gives you everything, you and your partner, everything you need to go down a street and to check at every house. If someone's not there, we'll leave a flyer. If they're there, we'll invite them to VBS. And people are so open. This is easy peasy stuff, really is. Judy and I were a little tired yesterday afternoon, needed kind of to clear our heads, and so we went to Sanger. And in about 20 minutes, stopping in a little shopping center, I think we put up 4 or 5 VBS posters. And that's never enough for Judy. She found some kids and a mom. She said, "Why don't you go to Bible school?" And before she left, she'd signed up 3 kids to go to Bible school. It's an easy sell. But it's a sell that is made person to person if it's going to be very effective. We're going to have some other ways for you to be involved in this. You can put up posters. And you can give some flyers to your family and friends, and we'll talk about that. But the main thing is to get out into the neighborhoods. Remember, you've heard me say this before. Jesus never commanded them to come and hear. He commanded us to go and tell. Do you believe that? He didn't say to them, come to church and hear. He said to us in the church, you go to them and tell them. And that's what we're going to do. So we'll be giving you an opportunity to be involved in that at the end of this time. Two other things you can do. One is, I've put some kits together and they're out on tables in the foyer when you leave here. And I'm, at the end of the service, I'm going to call people who will come tonight up to the front because we need to get, we're going to give you t-shirts if you want to wear them. You don't have to. And I need to find out how many we have involved so I'll know how to schedule the maps and whatnot. But if you can't come tonight, after the rest of my hard sell in just a minute, if you can't come tonight, if you can't stand up for an hour, we're just asking you to visit an hour. To be honest, you'll be gone 2 hours from your home. Half an hour here, 5 minutes to a place, 1 hour there, and then the time to get home. But if you can't do that, I've got some kits there. You can take home 10 flyers, and you can go to your family, your friends, your neighborhood around your house instead of just the neighborhoods we're focusing on, and you can make these same visits and make these same contacts. Remember, we're talking about pointing people to Jesus, and this is just one little step in it. And so here is why these are such wonderful opportunities to each of us. When you point people to Jesus, some of them will come to him. Right, Bob? When you point people to Jesus, some of them will come to him and spend eternity with him and with you. Cool? So I want to give you several things that you may not realize that you can accomplish by pointing people to Jesus. When you point people to Jesus, here's what you can do. One, you personally can increase the population of heaven and decrease the population of hell. You know, there's going to come a time when that population is fixed, okay? If you imagine a population sign on the gate to heaven. The Bible says that there's going to come a judgment day, and all people from all of history are going to be gathered before Jesus. And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, as a shepherd would do. There's only two groups. And to those on his right, he's going to say, come with me into eternity in heaven. But to those on his left, he's going to say, you rejected God in your life. You've rejected him for eternity. And you're going to be going to hell, which was prepared not for you, but for the devil and his angels, but you'll end up going there. And so after that moment, the population of heaven is fixed. Everybody who's there is going to be there. The population of hell is fixed. Everybody who's there is there. But until that moment, you can point someone to Jesus. And they can accept him as their Savior and Lord. And the population of hell, the eventual population of hell just ticked down one. And the eventual population of heaven just ticked up one. You can do that. That gives you some joy? That gives me some joy. To think I could have that impact. I can have a universal impact by pointing someone to Jesus. The second thing you can do is you can cause a stir of joy in heaven. Luke 15:10, Jesus says, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, the angels, I think, are happy most of the time. They're in the presence of God, and they're his servants, his messengers is what they're called. And they're going back and forth, and they're helping you and me, us saints, as we muddle along here and try to do our best. And so, but they're happy in general. But every now and then, there's a stir of joy. And the angels have to be next to each other, give each other a high five. And I don't know whether it's a red light that blinks or a bell that sounds or what, but that's because one sinner repented. And the scripture says that there is a stir of joy in heaven at that moment. And that could be because you pointed somebody to Jesus. You know, some of you, most of us want to have accomplished more than we have in our lives. And a lot of times we look and say, I don't know what much difference I make. Can you imagine not only making difference on earth, but making difference in heaven by something you do where angels are rejoicing? The third thing is that you can bring some small relief in hell. Do you know that? You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Rich man, most of you remember the story, but let me remind you of it. The rich man was a godless man, had wonderful things in life, but had no concern for God. Lazarus was a poor, diseased beggar who ate table scraps that fell from the rich man's table. And they both died. And Lazarus went to heaven because he was a child of God. The rich man went to hell. And here's what the story takes up in Luke 16, verse 22. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham way off and Lazarus at his side. Father Abraham, he called out, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this flame. Son, Abraham said, remember that during your life you received your good things, just as Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, Abraham went on to say, listen to this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot, neither can those from there cross over to us. Now listen to this guy's plea. Father, he said, I beg you to send him to my father's house because I have five brothers, to warn them so that they also won't come to this place of torment. Now that story tells us several things. One is that people in hell are conscious, and they're conscious of their surroundings, and they're conscious of what's going on in the heavenlies, and they at least remember what's going on earth, and they still care. Now, the scripture makes clear that there's no passing from one to the other. You know, that's a big motivator for me. I want to get people into that place and get them out of that place, all right? But there's no passing from one place to the other. But right now, as we sit in this room, there are parents in hell who would give anything if someone would go to their son or daughter on earth and warn them not to go to that place. There are brothers and sisters in hell like this guy who wish someone would go to their siblings left on earth and warn them. And you could be that person. It's not going to make hell a nice place. But isn't it strange to think that you could bring some small relief in answering the cry of people in hell that their loved ones still on earth would be warned not to go there? Number four, you can change one person's eternal destiny. Change them from someone headed to hell to someone headed for heaven. We've talked about that a little bit. James 5:20 says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I was brought up in church. Church family came up from infancy. But the Bible says that that doesn't get me saved. Okay? And I just like every other child who has no church background, when I got a chance to choose my way or God's way, I chose my way. And I was disqualified as a rebel against the God of the universe. I was going to hell. But I had a leader in a church kind of Boy Scouts group. I was a Southern Baptist back then. It's called RAs. Anybody ever hear in RAs when you were a child? Yeah, a number of you. Yeah. Royal Ambassadors. Anyway, he cared enough about his little group of boys out in a country church in North Texas that one day he told us about the Savior, about our sin, about our need of forgiveness, and that that forgiveness was freely available in Jesus Christ. And no pressure or anything. He said, if anybody wants to talk with me about that afterwards, I'd love to talk with you. And I knew that was me. And so afterwards, I came and said, I'd like to do that. I'd like to receive Jesus as my Savior. And he talked me through that. And this guy here was heading for hell before that discussion and was heading for heaven after that discussion. And you could be that guy. Can anybody get excited about that? Okay, I think I'll just maybe do one more, and that is that you can start an avalanche of salvation on earth. Seldom is one person saved, and then that's the end of it. He or she often tells his family, friends, one or more of them are saved. They tell their family, friends, one or more of them are saved. And it's, I don't know if that's multi-level, heaven's multi-level marketing or what, but something happens there where it's seldom that just one person is saved, but you can be the person who points that one person. You know, somebody pointed Billy Graham to Jesus at one time? There's someone who pointed Billy Graham to Jesus. Now, talk about an avalanche of salvation. And Judy, you know, sweet Judy, every place I've been, I say everybody loves Judy and tolerates me, and that's really true. She is so wonderful. And so she's impacted so many people's lives. But that started by a VBS teacher, a Vacation Bible School teacher, who cared enough about this poor little girl who walked several blocks as a little girl to church, and she committed herself to follow through with that little girl, and she came to Jesus. Amen? Some speculate that part of the complete knowledge that we'll have when we get to heaven is we will know all that was involved in us coming to Christ. And songs have been written about that. And so when you first get to heaven, the first thing you're going to want, and the best thing is going to be, you'll see Jesus with his arms open waiting to embrace you and say to you right before he does, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen? You want to hear that? But after you leave his embrace, then I think the next thing you want to do is there's family and friends that beat you there, and you're going to be reunited with them. But after you get through partying with that, imagine this. They start filtering away, and there's a line of people. And they are here to shake your hand and say, "Thank you. You pointed me to Jesus, and that's why I'm here. And not there." And someone may say, "You pointed Susie to Jesus, and she pointed Bob to Jesus, and Bob pointed Henry to Jesus, and Henry pointed me to Jesus, and that's why I'm here. Thank you. Thank you." And you can start an avalanche of salvation by simply developing a lifestyle of pointing people to Jesus. It's so easy to do. I think the next point here is going to be, you can join Jesus in doing what he loves the most, but we're going to skip that point. He loves it. He loves to, he loves to bring people to himself. So here's what we're going to do. In just a minute, now I've mentioned the two other options. There's two other options. One is, as you go out, I've placed two tables that you cannot get out of this lobby without tripping over. And on each table, there's two stacks. One says poster kits, and the other says flyer kits. Now, the flyer kit you take home has about 10 flyers. You invite people to Vacation Bible School, your friends, your neighbors. You can go right around your house, maybe the people you work with. It's just so, this is such an easy thing. People love Vacation Bible School. And the poster kits, there's, I don't know, maybe three small posters and three larger posters. And there's some rolls of tape you can take with you. And you'll find that most of the businesses are just happy to put a poster up. Crum, Sanger, Denton. And you can do that. And there's a third way I forgot to mention besides the main way. And that is, you can post on social media about our Vacation Bible School. Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram, Pony Express, whatever. I don't know how to do any of that. I can't give you instructions. But if you know how to do it, then you know how to do it, okay? It's already being done, but that can inform some more people. Hello, Gavin. that can point some more people to Jesus, okay? And so that's going to be there. But here's what I really want. I don't think for most of us in this room, there are very legitimate reasons why most of us in this room couldn't be here this evening to be away from home for 2 hours. Now, I realize this is short notice. This is a prime time to invite people today, a week before Bible school. People don't make long-range plans for Bible school. And maybe you're, you know, some of you who can't be on your feet that long, I understand that. Some of you have other plans, I understand that. But I'm shamelessly asking you to commit to this thing. That's the main response that I want. There's actually a fifth response, and that is, Pastor Jeff, that's a good sermon. I don't like that response. But I'm going to ask you to commit yourself to come tonight, and we're going to find those 80 other kids. We're going to try to do a neighborhood in Crum, neighborhood in Sanger, a neighborhood in Denton, all that are near here. We'll have everything you need. But I need you to commit to it for two reasons. One is I want to give you a T-shirt like this for being part of the Bible school effort, or Judy does, if you want one. Some of you are already working in Bible school and you already get one. And the other is, I need to know how many we're going to have so I can figure out how many packets to make up, okay? All right. So here's the last thing you can do, you can accomplish by pointing people to Jesus. You can put a smile on God's face right now this morning. When he looks out among this crowd and sees your hand in this sense. Isaiah was having an encounter with the Lord, Isaiah 6, and he said, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And Isaiah said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go.'" Let me ask you, now let's just leave that slide up there. Let me ask you, do you believe God is here among us? Yeah. In this setting here, Isaiah was among a big crowd. Most of those people were just doing religion. There were a lot of priests. They're just doing religion. And they didn't see the presence of God that Isaiah was allowed to see. They didn't hear the voice that Isaiah was allowed to hear. God is here among us. And I believe he's saying to us, "Whom shall I send?" As his eyes go back and forth across this group, "And who will go for us?" And I'm looking for people who say, me. Do you ever know anybody in your grade school like that? Me, send me. Would that be your response this morning? Come out a couple hours tonight and point children to Jesus. Amen? Let's stand up. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. And then those of you who can or think you can, and you may find out it doesn't work out for you, but if you can or think you can, meet us here at 6 o'clock and go out for an hour to invite people to Bible school. Would you just come on over here? I want to just very briefly give you one more instruction, and then you'll be dismissed. And then at the end of this time, and I'll pray for you, the rest of you can go on out there, and nobody should leave the outside door without a flyer kit or a poster kit, right? All right. Let me pray. Father, I believe you're here, and I'm hearing you say to me, as I've heard you say so many times, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Lord, I want to raise my hand and say, me. me. Pick me. And I believe many of my brothers and sisters do also. I'm asking you to put that in our hearts. Lord, that you would give us the privilege of partnering with you in this deal of bringing people into eternity. Wow. Thank you for that privilege. And we want to take you up on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.